We talked a little bit about the emotional hearing yesterday. It lasted about 7 hours with the Board of Supervisors and lots of other entities involved in the wildfires. And Supervisor Susan Gorin is on the line with us. Susan, good morning. Glad to have you here.
Good morning, Pat. It's great to talk with you again, and thank you so much for your continuing coverage of this issue.
Well, it was a big day yesterday, and I know that the powers that be are doing there's a lot of effort being made in terms of finding solutions and not spending an overabundance of time on blame. This was a particularly emotional day for you, of course, because you amongst the Board of Supervisors, the only one who actually lost your home. Hard to imagine what it was like listening to all of that discussion and really that testimony for 7 hours yesterday.
Well, I try to keep my emotions in check and really just focus on the job that I need to do. But as most people know, I was not here the night of the firestorms. I was in Colorado awaiting the birth of my grandchild, but
yes.
I flew in immediately on that Monday. And I pledged to folks then that I would be not making snap judgments, but be out there listening to everybody who experienced that, losing their home and escaping from their homes. And I guess the story just overwhelmed me yesterday, and they probably still do. And it was frustrating. It is frustrating for me because I take part of the collective blame for not ensuring that we had a better alert system, a more functional alert system. And we can suggest that that fire was so hellacious and so ferocious and so fast moving that we simply didn't have the time and to make the alerts and to get people out of their homes in an even more expedient way. And those are not excuses. Those are explanations, but there are no excuses for the inadequate alert system that we had that night. We could have, should have done a better job of alerting folks. And
it sounds like one of the questions at this stage of the game, Supervisor Gorin, is who ought to be in charge of making those decisions in a disaster?
Well, I do think we heard from a number of communities that have put this responsibility within the sheriff's department. And I just saw Rob Giordano, our sheriff, at a breakfast this morning. And I said, well, are you ready for that? He said, no, we're not ready for that. But if that's the best way of moving forward, then I will be ready. But it will require additional funding and resources.
Yeah.
In the sheriff's department to make that happen. And I think that is the tough decision that the supervisors will be making in the future. The best logical, most cost-effective and efficient way of handling emergency operations in the future. Is it a different structure within our current county family, or is it the transfer of some of the responsibility or sharing some of the responsibility with the sheriff's office? I don't know, and I don't have an opinion on that yet, and
yeah.
It certainly is mixed across the state. I do know that it's going to be more resource intensive to do a better job of preparing for whatever next emergency we have, and that could be fire detection, earthquake detection cameras and radars. It could be sirens, and we know that is difficult because of the topography of Sonoma County. I am looking for an aggressive, potentially redundant system of alerts. So it's not only the sirens potentially, but it is technology, and it is the continuation of the neighbor-to-neighbor response that
yeah.
we had.
Well, you can't beat that. I mean, if anybody, is sort of a shining example of how to do it, it certainly is the neighbors.
Exactly. And more often than not, those were the stories that I heard from folks. Their next door neighbors knocked on their door. The person a block away called them. A tree branch falling on their roof. The house two doors down exploding in flames. I can't think of one instance where someone said I was alerted by the county wireless or SoCo
right.
alerts or
right.
NICSL. And it's changing. The number of folks who've signed up for NICSL is astonishingly higher. I think it's half the county now. And that is after the fact. And yay, this is great.
That is great, but it's not good enough. It's not good
exactly.
enough. I can't imagine why one person who was here then would not be signed up for it now.
Exactly.
So it was, you know, it sounded like really an information gathering situation last night in front of you and the rest of the Board of Supervisors. I guess what a lot of us are wondering, Supervisor Gorin, is at what point can we get to the place where our supervisors, our county leaders, city leaders can say, okay, here's the new plan that is in step. We've got it laid out. We know how we're going to pay for it, and here's what it looks like.
It's going to take a while because it's not going to be a snap judgment of the best way of moving forward. It's going to take some more thoughtful analysis, not months, but maybe a month or two, to form a preliminary recommendation, working with all of our fire chiefs, because we haven't heard from our fire departments and the after action reports that they are now compiling. I want to hear from them.
Oh, absolutely.
About the communication alert system, and just as importantly, how can they be better staffed to prepare for the future? I'm not sure that we can ever prepare adequately to address a situation like the firestorms that we had, but we need to do a better job of making sure that our volunteer fire departments are not left stranded and the folks around them depending on their services and not having them available. So there is a lot of conversation to have, but certainly outreach to the community is part of that.
And I'm not going to let this conversation end, Susan, without asking you about your particular circumstance, since all of us are moving toward the notion of rebuilding. And, you are an example of a person who plans to rebuild your burned out home. What's your status as far as that goes?
I am rebuilding. We have a tentative design. And we are getting ready to talk with potential contractors. And I'm fortunate. I'm still, like so many other people, negotiating with insurance companies.
Yeah.
But I'm very aware that the home that we're going to build, the silver lining in this is we've been discussing a major remodel for the past couple of years. And yay.
Well, you've got one now.
Yet.
Yeah.
So now I get the home that I want, but it's going to cost us a little bit of extra money. But I knew that going into it. I am one of the fortunate ones. We have found a place to live in Oakmont, and so we call it our temporary permanent home. and while we go through the rebuilding process, but I still know people who are staying in hotels.
Yep.
And I was at the Breakfast of Champions for the Human Race this morning, and there was such a moving speech about a woman who lost her home in Coffee Park, and she's picking herself up, volunteering for the same nonprofits that she's been raising money for and working on development work with. And she said she's not alone. She's going through the rebuilding process. She's stronger. And she's so appreciative of all of the nonprofits that provided services to her and so many other folks.
Amen to that. Amen to that. As much support as we can give those nonprofits and the Volunteer Center at large, which supports so many nonprofits here, so much the better for our community moving forward. Supervisor Gorin, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. After a busy day yesterday, thanks for the update.
Thanks so much, Pat, and until we meet again.
Until we meet again. That is Supervisor Susan Gorin, who was at that Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, talking about moving forward and getting a better plan for the disasters that will no doubt come.